We're talking about stewardship tonight. I'm going to preach a foundational message. But the principles tonight are so important. You're going to say, preacher, I thought you were going to help us with finances. We will. Matter of fact, we're going to, over the course of the next 3 weeks, get into some very specific things. I'm talking about nuts and bolts. I'm talking about very practical things that will help you in this. But there's a few biblical philosophies, biblical teachings that if you don't understand, the rest of it's not going to make sense to you. Folks, listen, as a child of God, we view money differently. We view materialism differently. And, we don't think that a man's life is judged or should be judged on the abundance of the things he possesses. Jesus warned against that. He said, your life doesn't consist of the abundance of things that you possess. So many things to a Christian as we grow, it's so much more important than what the world focuses on. And you know what? Thank God there is. Because if all there was in this world was the stuff, and all we had to live for was to see how much stuff we could collect, it doesn't matter where you get to and how much you have by the finish line. You're not taking any of it with you. And so, you know, there's a higher calling. At the same time, we're going to see that there's biblical principles that certainly put upon each and every one of us the responsibility of work and responsibility of management of our finances, responsibility of caring for our own family. Come on, man, if you won't care for your own, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. And so we all have these biblical principles that we'll present, very practical. But I want to talk about stewardship, and I want to talk about the relationship tonight. I want to explain what stewardship is. And then I want to talk about the relationship between the steward and his Lord. Because, folks, those two things are absolutely key in properly understanding and executing our responsibilities. So let's all stand tonight for the reading of the Bible. And this will be the shortest of all of the messages. The next three will be a little bit longer, mostly because I know there's soup out there. And by 7 o'clock, whether I'm done or not, you will be. So I'm going to try to get done right around 7. And then don't worry, I'm going to get what I give you this time. I'm going to get it over the next 3 weeks. But this is one of those things where if we're going to do it in 4 weeks, there's actually 8 lessons. I'm going to double up and I fine-tuned it. And a lot of it will be reviewed. But folks, even a lot of the things I'm going through review, I promise you there's people in this auditorium right now sitting that's never heard them. And so we can't run past everything. So, and by the way, it's good to be reminded. How about this verse? The earth is the Lord's. That's L, capital L-O-R-D, apostrophe S. Apostrophe means possession. It means ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the world and they that dwell therein. Heavenly Father, may we understand. Lord, open our minds, our hearts. And may we understand the biblical precepts, the foundational precepts we'll talk about tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalms 24 verse 1 teaches us the most important truth that a person can learn when it comes to money and materialism. Folks, it's very simple. Here it is. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. It breaks down into four parts here. The earth is the Lord. The word earth means it's talking about the land or the surface of the earth. All property belongs to God. Okay, so you don't own your property. I don't own my property. Well, this is mine. Well, then get your deed out. You hear me say this every year. And look at the deed and read all the different names of all the people that at one time stood there and said, this is mine. And guess what? It wasn't theirs. It's lent to us for a while, and so the earth is the Lord. Number two, the fullness thereof. That means everything this planet contains belongs to God. So not only does the property, the earth's surface, belong to God, but everything this planet contains is His. The world, that means the very planet itself, not just the surface, but everything that's in it, all parts of it. The globe or the sphere, it's His. You know why it's His? Because He made it. He made it. And then it says this, and they that dwell therein. We all ultimately belong to God. Everyone belongs to God. Now, when a Christian accepts and believes this truth, it changes the view of everything around him. Watch this. The property that he thought he owned, he realized that it's just lent to him for a time. He realizes that it belongs to the Lord. By the way, he cares for it differently because he is the steward of God's land, God's property. And you know what? I want to be a good steward, so I want to take care of the piece of property that God's given me. Okay? The possessions that he thought he owned, he realizes that they are really God's. He is to use them according to God's will and to care for them as one who must one day give an account of those things. And I talked to you the other day, and I meant it. I said something about we're going to be raising some money. I'll be going to the Lord and asking him. He keeps some stuff of his at my place, and I'm going to ask him if he wants me to sell any of his stuff and redirect that to a different place. And you know what? I when I say that, I'm not trying to sound hyper-spiritual. I believe that from the bottom of my feet, the top of my head, everything that we own, we don't own. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. And so it's his. And that means he gives me some stuff. Sometimes he lets me enjoy it for a while. Then he'll come along and say, hey, you've had that not long enough. Why don't you give that to somebody else? Or why don't you sell it and put the money this direction? And you know what? I've been through the years, been able to have for a while a lot of stuff. But you know what? I have it, but it's never had me. I've had it, but it's never had me. And you know what? I'm thankful when it comes, and I'm thankful that I have it for a while. And you know what? I'm thankful for the opportunity to pass it on. And so now that's a steward's mentality. The planet that he thought belonged to mankind, he realized that it belongs to the Creator. You know what? We take care of God's earth because we taking care of God's earth becomes important to us, not because I'm an environmentalist or a tree hugger, but because I'm a steward. Because I'm a steward. Folks, outdoorsmen and people, Christians who believe in the Creator God, have always felt an obligation to take care of his planet, okay? We didn't need a bunch of a liberal, you know, Green Party people to teach us that. The people that he thought was his, think about this, man. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, that means every single person has been created by God, and you know what? We need to treat them accordingly. And that needs to, you need to think about that in every relationship you have. Why do you treat people the way you do? Because those people belong to the Lord. And you know what? Hey, husbands, your wife belongs to the Lord. Hey, your children belong to the Lord. Hey, your husband belongs to the Lord. You know what? I'm going to stand one of these days and give account to my master on how I tended those relationships. Okay, how I treated his people. That stranger that I meet tomorrow, you know what? He belongs to the Lord because he's the Creator God, okay? And so we're talking about this matter of stewardship. Now, what do you mean by a steward then, preacher? You mean we don't have anything? You know, we don't. Well, a steward, let me explain a stewardship to you and then we'll illustrate it. A steward is a person who is employed to collect, get this, collect, manage, invest, and distribute the wealth of his master. So a steward is a person who's employed to collect, manage, invest, and distribute the wealth of his employer. Most stewards are compensated accordingly to how successful they advance the interests of their master or their employer. Okay, so does God take care of us? Yes. Does he allow us to have some things and reward us in some ways? Yes. But he's going to do so according to our stewardship. A steward, by the way, who is guilty of mismanaging his master's wealth, would be fired at best and arrested at worst, depending on what lines he crossed. He would certainly gain a reputation of distrust and would be hard-pressed to find another position in stewardship. And so, folks, the whole idea of being a steward of these things means that they belong to God, but he allows me the oversight of a certain amount of his things. And then my job is to manage those things in his best interest. And as I do that, he rewards me accordingly because he found that he can trust me to properly manage his things. Now, let's go to a Bible parable that'll help us illustrate it over in Matthew chapter number 25. I won't spend a lot of time on this. But Matthew chapter number 25, we have a very familiar parable of the servants that were entrusted with a portion of their master's belongings. He was about to make some servants into stewards. And so Matthew 25, verse number 14, for the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25, 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. I'm in Matthew 25, and I know I'm rushing you a bit, but verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. It's a wonderful thing to have the ability to be able to take 5 talents and engage in commerce. Let's talk about trading them, engaging in commerce in such a way so that he was able to take 5 and turn it into 10. Okay? And then likewise, verse 17, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Let me see if I can borrow 3 of you guys. Joe, let me borrow you, Travis, and Max. Why don't you guys come up here? Now, I've got talents here that I'm going to trust you with. They're Blessed Hope Baptist School, 10 merits. Okay, that's the best I could do, all right? So he came to the first guy and he said, I'm going to give you 1. Okay, I'm going to give you 1. And then I'm going to trust you with 2 of these. Okay, and then I'm going to give Joe here, I'm going to give him 5 of these, okay? 5 of these. There we go, just like that. And let me pull that off there. That's going to bother me if it don't bother you. All right, now I'm going to have to go for 1. By the way, that's just part of what I have, okay? And God has, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, okay? But he's got a whole bunch of stewards. He just doesn't have 3. Everybody in here is a steward. And he said, I'm going to, now by the way, you notice that he gave him different amounts? You know what? That's his decision. That's God's decision, you know. And so, you know what? So he said, I'm going to give you different amounts. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to treat what I've given you as if it's mine. And I want you to get busy with it. And when I come back, I want to see that you've managed it properly and that there is an increase that you can present to me, okay? So he went into the far country, all right? Now, these two guys, go over here. And you're going to get busy wheeling and dealing and buying and selling and properly managing that. And then you have this guy, all right? He looks down at the 1 and says, well, that's not a big deal. I don't know why he didn't give me more. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm pretty busy. So he's going to bury it. Okay, so why don't you go ahead and bury that? There you go. All right, good. All right, very good. All right, good. All right, so after a certain amount of time, all of a sudden news comes. Hey, the Lord's on his way back, the master's on his way back, and he wants to meet with everybody. So you know what? 3 of you come in to meet with me, and let's see. Let me give you ahead of time. You had the 2, so you ended up with 2 more. And I'm not doing this. They did this all on their own. I think that's 5. You may have done a little better there. I don't know. And he comes back, and he says, now there's the accounting. By the way, folks, there's going to be a judgment seat one of these days. And God has kept careful detail of everything that's gone through these hands. Isn't that a little scary? Come on, you think about that. Isn't that a little scary? And, you know, we need to really, as Americans, kind of get shook and woke up a little bit in this area. And God's going to, he remembered, he didn't say, now, how many did I give you? He knows exactly what he gave him. I know exactly what I gave him. I know exactly what I gave. God knows exactly what he's given me, okay? Now there's going to be a time of accounting. So let's start with number 5 here. All right, how'd you do? All right. Oh, wow, man, alive. So I gave you 5. I left for a while, came back, and you got 10. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's exactly what we're reading here in the text here. And by the way, talents. You say, preacher, what are talents here? I know this is a denomination of money, but I always say there's 3 T's that God entrusts us with. Okay, time, and by the way, everybody gets the same amount of that. Time, and then talents, I'm not using it in the sense of money, but in the sense of abilities, and then treasures. And you know what? He's going to give to everyone severally. It's his decision, what he gives. And you may say, wow, I wish I was that person because they're very talented. Well, they've got a lot more to answer for one of these days. Be careful what you wish for, okay? But this man that had 5 talents showed up. And he gave me 10. How did you do? 4. You got four. He doubled it up, man. That's awesome. I like that parable where it says, if a man bid thee go 1 mile, go two. And I think that biblical principle of trying to double, do twice as much as what is expected of us. So well done, thou good and faithful servant, man. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. And then we say, all right, how'd you do? Well, you did what? Go get it. Go get it. What? Are you serious? And now it's dirty. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Read the King James Holy Bible there. He said, let me take this away from you. Let me give it to you. By the way, that's the opposite of what the government's doing. Come on, every politician needs to come, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, sit in this room and just watch what I just did. Okay, because it's just opposite. Why are we rewarding this wicked, look at him, this wicked and slothful servant? Why are we rewarding him? Why are we taking from this guy and this guy and giving it to this guy? Okay, all right, so that's just one area we're mixed up in, all right? And then, so that's being a steward. God takes what's his. He entrusted into your care. And your job is to go out there and take whatever God's given you, which is your time, the talents he's given you, and the treasures he gives you. And you're going to use them in such a way so that one of these days when you show up in front of him, you have invested in such a way that's going to bring him glory and him honor and make him happy. And you two did a great job. Actually, they all three did pretty good tonight. All right, you can be seated. That's what it is, folks. It's that simple. It really is. Thank you, sir. All right. Man, all right. Thank you. All right. It really is that simple. You know, it's not complicated. Get that stewardship thing settled, and all of a sudden, you know what? Things come, things go. Now, let me take you to the next step, because I want to talk to you tonight also about the relationship between the steward and his Lord, because this is so key. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. And if you will, look at verse number 36. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? What is the greatest commandment, folks? What is the greatest commandment? We're going to give you other commandments concerning giving, but what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is this. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, I'm going to take you somewhere else because I want you to see something. Turn, if you will, over to 2 Timothy. I think that's right, 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. The greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now we have the warning in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And we look at verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, let's just stop before we, you know, we've said that so many times and you've heard it so many times. It's just we rattle it off. We don't think about it. Okay, stop a minute. Before we look at really hard at what is what the love of what, let's think about that last phrase. Is the root of what? Now, folks, come on. We've had a front row seat to see a lot of evil in the last 12 months. Good night, folks. Man alive. I look at the local news, read the newspapers. They've got every single week these little news documentary type shows like 60 Minutes and 2020 and Dateline. And you know what, folks? They're never going to rout out of hideous murders and hideous crimes. And they've got entire, someone told me they have entire channels dedicated 24 hours of all they do is cover all of these terrible things that people do to each other. Now, is the Bible true or not? I believe it is. So if it says that the root of all evil can be traced down to one thing, then we better take a hard look at it. It ought to scare us. Okay, because we're going to see here in just a minute that the Bible says every one of us have to make a choice. Okay, we have to decide, we have to choose. You know what? Are we going to, let me bring Joe back up here. And Joe was the one that took good care of it. So I'm going to even trust him with more now. Man, I'm going to take some more. This is a good investment, by the way. Hey, I tell you what, I gave him five. He brought back 10. Why wouldn't I want to put more in that guy's hand? Now, I'm going to give this to Joe, and now I've given you even more. Now, wait a minute. It's one thing to understand stewardship, but let me tell you where the struggle is when it comes to our own heart. Because he's got to make a choice. Does he love me, or does he love what I'm giving him? Because he can't love them both. The Bible says he can't serve them both. You'll either love one, hate the other, or you'll love the other and turn your back. Listen, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. So this relationship is extremely important. Okay? Because if my relationship, or his relationship with me, and even if we were just talking on a human standpoint, if I was entrusting him with that money, and he really cared about me, really loved me, and I mean with his heart, wanted to please me. You know what? He's probably not going to have too much trouble in what he does handling this. But if there gets a point where there's a distance between us and all of a sudden the relationship's not right, and all of a sudden this stuff becomes more important to him than the person who's given it to him, then we're looking at problems down the road, okay? Now, this is what would be good for every one of us to stop and remember we talked the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you know, to walk, to go home tonight and to pull in our driveway and don't just jump out of the car, but really look at the place that God's given you and say, God, do I love you more than I love this place? And walk through your garage and look at all your vehicles and look at all of that. Take your bank accounts out, lay them out, your savings and say, God, please don't ever let me get to the point where my love shifts from you to this. Because as long as this relationship is right, then you know what? He's going to do right by it. Now, if his relationship's good with me, even sometimes when he has a question, like all of a sudden he invests in something and it comes back a lot more than he thinks and he deals with that abundance, he's not going to be like that rich man in the parable that said, hey, good, let's tear down my barns and build bigger barns. He's going to say, oh my goodness sakes, this was blessed even beyond what I thought. What do I do with it? Now, here's the advantage. In the parable, this Lord went on a trip, and then he came back. There's nothing wrong with the parable because of what Jesus was trying to teach concerning the judgment seat. But I got news for you. You know what? My master went on a trip too. But you know what? He tells me this. Why don't you come visit me? Come boldly to the throne of grace. And here's the thing. I don't have to guess about whether or not I'm managing it correctly. If I have a question, I can go ask him. Listen, I'd like to be able to spend enough time with him, and I think I have. Listen, I haven't reached, but in some areas, I've spent enough time with him that I know him enough that I know what to do in certain situations. I know what Jesus would do. I know where God's heart is. There's other times when I'm just not sure. But instead of just taking a chance and guessing, why wouldn't I go to him? It's his. And say, listen, I've got two or three decisions here. I need to make two or three options. Lord, guide me. What would you do if you were in my shoes? Now, there's a wonderful thing to be able to start building a personal relationship that's stronger and stronger because you know what? The more, listen, as a steward, listen, I don't want you to think like you think. Because you're not dealing with your stuff. I want you to learn to think like I think. Okay, I want you to respond and give, you know, do I help this person? Do I don't help this person? What would Jesus do? What would he do in that circumstance? And again, if you're not sure, go talk to him about it. But boy, I think the Lord ought to be involved a lot more than he is in our lives when it comes to even some of the small, what we might think insignificant decisions as far as what we're doing with some of his stuff. Okay, and that's the advantage. Thank you again, Joe. And yes, I'm keeping this. And so I can't wait till the, when's the next marriage sale, man? Is it this week? All right, I'm going to clean up. I'm going to clean up out there. Kids, there's going to be, by the time you get out there, nothing left. And but isn't that exciting? Now, watch this. You build a relationship with the Lord. And it's a relationship where you are, watch this, you're learning him, but you're also earning trust. Earning trust. Why, when I had another opportunity, did I grab Joe? Because he earned a lot of trust with me. What he did last time. Now, by the way, you could say, preacher, I've made some dumb financial decisions and I've messed up and I'm thinking about this right now thinking, oh my goodness, I haven't always done that and the Lord is not. Hey, you know what? Here's the good thing. I serve a God that's merciful and I serve a God that remembers that I'm but dust and I serve a God that doesn't throw people away. And I serve a God that if he sees genuine changes in me, it's not that hard to regain his trust. It's not that hard to regain his trust. See, he can look in my heart and he can see if that, listen, Lord, I'm sorry. I mean, come on now, folks. Sometimes I just need, Lord, there's some Bible principles that I'm learning as I'm growing. And I didn't always know that. And maybe I did know it, but I didn't always do it. Lord, forgive me. And I'm going to earn trust in this area of my life. And as you begin to earn trust with him, then he begins to use you more and more as a way of seeing to it that his stuff gets where it belongs. We learn, it, first of all, that everything belongs to God. Then we're reminded that we are to love God above all things. If we misdirect our greatest love away from God and to money and materialistic things, watch this, soon we will resent the idea that it is his and not ours. Soon we'll spend more time trying to accumulate things than we do in spending time with the one who gave us those things in the first place. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Now, preacher, you said a minute ago there's some other Bible principles that need to weigh in. I'm gonna list them for you, and we won't spend a lot of time. Okay, remember some things. It is sinful not to provide for your family. If you're providing for your family with some of the Lord's stuff, he expects that and would hold you to account if you didn't do it. So I want you to understand that even though it belongs to him, because of other Bible principles, he's already green-lighted us to make sure that we fulfill our biblical obligations. You don't have to pray about that. You need to just do it. Take care of your family, okay? We learned in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it's sinful to be lazy. So we don't have to pray about whether we ought to work or not, okay? It says, but for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So it's right, gentlemen, it's right to go to work. It's right to take a portion of what you earn and provide your family. It is sinful to mismanage your income. And this is one of the things that we're going to help you with. And I mean this. I want you to come these weeks understanding that these evening services are not here to belittle you or make you feel like a failure or beat you up. They are here to equip you and to help you, because some of you are making the same mistakes over and over again, and it's getting you deeper and deeper in trouble. And you know what? The Bible's going to help you, okay? And so it is sinful to mismanage your income. The Bible says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. And Americans, when it comes to materialism, finances, a lot of times are great wasters, okay? So we're going to talk about that and how to avoid wasting the things that God can trust you with. I made a decision. I hope you'll make it tonight if you haven't already. God is my master, and I am his steward. That's the relationship that we have, okay? Money is not a little G God and not something for me to love. It's a tool. It's simply a tool in order that God allows me to have, allows to go through my hands so that I can, it can be used to accomplish what He wants me to accomplish with it. It is necessary to earn money, to take care of my family, to support the work of God, to contribute in a positive way to the success of my nation. And you know what? It's a tool. And then I want to get finished with this and settle this in your heart. I'm a Christian first. I am a Christian first. Now, what does that mean? You know what? A lot of times people will begin to identify themselves by their job. And it's not a bad thing, a wrong thing for you to be thankful and even to draw a close association with the type of employment you do. You know, some guys will say, well, I'm a truck driver. You know, if you ask them what they do, I'm a truck driver, I'm a farmer. And as long as it's a noble and honest profession, you know, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse. You know what? That's good. But you know, before you say any of those things, the thing that you ought to always say first is this: I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian who drives a truck. I'm a Christian who farms the land. I'm a Christian who goes down and digs out coal. You know, I'm a Christian who teaches school. I'm a Christian that works in a hospital. Because as long as we say that, it helps everything else to be kept in perspective. You see, my career choice is just, listen to this, my career choice is just what I do for a living. Okay? I'm not a carpenter. I'm a Christian who happens to work as a carpenter. I'm not a truck driver. I'm a Christian who drives a truck. I'm not a nurse. I'm a Christian who earns a living nursing those who are in need. And that keeps the priority straight, because you know what? More than anything else, folks, if you want to say, well, what's your job is to be the best Christian that you can be. And then look at everything else through that lens. Now I'm gonna stop there tonight, because I'm at a place where if I go on, it's gonna go for a while. And so we'll stop and pick up there. I'm gonna talk to you next week and give you some practical advice to working laymen. I want to talk to you a little bit about where you work and the job choices. We're going to talk about some things that I want you to go home and look at and pray over and look in your own personal situation about, and teach you some biblical principles that I think will put you in a lot better standing as far as finances going forward. And we'll cover these things in the next 3 weeks. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible. Lord, thank you for your generosity to us. Lord, forgive us for not always being the best of stewards. Lord, not just with our treasures, but sometimes our talents and our time too. So, Lord, may we learn to steward these things appropriately. Thank you that you sure are a generous master, a generous Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of our needs. Bless our time now. Bless this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.